It is a Friday morning, and a very good morning to you, Namibia. Very good morning to you, my dear listener. Thank you, David. Welcome back. Welcome back. And thank you for handing over, you know, the mic on this side. So, good morning. It's a cold Friday morning. And how is the weather like in your place, in your town? So good morning, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. We're going to warm you up. We're going to definitely warm you up. Make sure that, you know, you pull that chair, have that cup of tea or coffee, you know, and or hot chocolate, whatever it is. Okay, so we're going to warm you up. So, yes, we love to be in your company, and thanks for joining us at this point in time. So our time, it's about 4 minutes past the hour of 8. And I will be with you until around 10 o'clock when I will be handing over again, you know, to Wintuk colleague. I will be handing over to Tate France coming up with Kutha Mosha around 10 o'clock. So make sure that you tune in for that show as well. It's always fully packed. It's always packed, you know, with a really important update and discussions. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. It's Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here. And always, always curious, asking the questions, you know, that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we're here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack with me, to unpack the headlines with me, and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome, and if you're just joining us, good morning, you're welcome. You're right on time, you are right on time, and what do we do? Our first segment is looking at On This Day in Africa. We're looking at what happened on this day in Africa, and I welcome you too. On this day in Africa. And today we are turning the pages back to May 8th. It's a date that holds a lot of weight, you know, in African history. So let's start in 1945. May the 8th is known around the world as the VE Day. The VE Day marking the end of World War II in Europe. But across Africa, it's a day to remember the hundreds of thousands of African soldiers who fought for the British and French, black people, I mean, African soldiers who fought for the British and French to defeat the Nazi German. So their sacrifice was really, really massive, and it changed the continent forever. So, but while the Europe were, while Europe was celebrating in the streets, you know, the mood in Algeria was completely different. So in Algeria, town of Setif, Guelma, and Kareta, people used the VE Day to protest for their own freedom for from French colonial rule. Well, and the response from the French military was absolutely brutal and deadly. You know, thousands of Algerians were killed in what became known known as the Setif and Guelma massacres. So it was a horrific chapter. It was a horrific chapter, but it became a major turning point that fueled Algeria's fight for independence. Now, and Algeria wasn't alone in this, actually, in this shift across all across Africa. Soldiers were returning from, were returning home from the war. So they had risked their lives fighting for freedom abroad. And naturally, they came home expecting the same right, you know, for themselves. So the event of May 8th help light a fire, really help up light the fire under anti-colonial movement all over the continent. Now, let's fast forward to much more recent history. May the 8th, 2020, we move to the small kingdom of Lesotho, where Prime Minister Thomas Tambane announced he was stepping down, and he was facing a heavy political pressure and some very serious criminal allegation tied to the murder of his estranged wife. So now his resignation brought an end to a dramatic and tense period in Lesotho's political landscape. Basically, that's your look at On This Day in Africa. So thanks for tuning in. So now today's Friday, Friday, May the 8th. What is our thought for the day? So now there's a proverb that says the strongest person among men, is not he who fights everyone, but he who controls his anger. The strongest person among men is not he who fights everyone, but he who controls his anger. So real strength is not about, you know, shouting loud or winning every argument or reacting to every insult. So sometimes the strongest thing you can do is stay calm. You know, stay calm when emotions are higher. So because anger, you know, and this we know, anger can destroy relationship, anger can destroy also opportunities and even peace of mind in just a few seconds. So a person who control their temper shows wisdom, shows maturity and discipline. So today, before reacting in anger, take a moment to breathe, you know, just take a moment to breathe, think and choose peace over conflict. All right. And that's the real power. So, and that is our thought for the day. So welcome. So it's a good Friday morning. So, and yeah, it's, as I said, it's good to have you. It's good to have you here. All right, so it's a fully packed Friday morning. So if you're just joining us, what do we have for you this morning? You know, well, we just wake up on, you know, Namibian consumer are set to face a double blow this May as the government has announced a fuel price adjustment and also granted public transport operators a long overdue, I think it's a long overdue fare, a fare increase. So we, I'm going to have a special guest. You know, I'm going to talk to someone. I'm going to have someone that to discuss the issue of oil price hike, and you know, and the effect of that in our society. So we're going to do that in a few minutes. So, and if we have time as well, China now, this is actually that actually make headlines. That's actually the front page of our e-newspaper, The Villager, and make sure that you subscribe for the newspaper as well. For the e-newspaper, The Villager, make sure that what you need to do, it's not much. And this is for free, it's for free. What you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message. What's it saying? Subscribe, okay? So to 081 241 44. So, and the Villager, if it's this your first time here, is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe today for Monday, all right? So now China now holds ownership or majority stakes in every operational uranium mine in Namibia. You got that in your face. So now they hold ownership or majority stakes in every operational uranium mine in Namibia. So in your face, my friend. Now, so this is with the latest expansion being 42.75% acquisition in the Bannerman Etango uranium mine. So that make them the majority stakes or whole ownership or completely own operational uranium mine in Namibia. So, and if we have time, we're going to unpack that a little bit. Okay, make sure that you're around to do that with me. So, we're going to be back in a short second, in just a few seconds. So, stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongotisa mweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning, Namibia, and welcome to another edition of Unpacking the Day. As of midnight last night, or this morning, on 8th May 2026, Namibia has adjusted fuel price once again, and this time the numbers are significant. Now, petrol at Wavish Bay goes up by $1.40 per liter, while diesel, both the 50 parts per million and 10 parts per million, rises by a staggering $4.63 per liter. Now, that means you will now be paying $23 Namibian dollar 48 cents for a liter of 95 unleaded petrol and over 28 for diesel in Wavish Bay. And those of us living further inland, transport differentials will push those number even higher. But the story does not end at, it doesn't end at the pump. The ripple effect are already being felt across the economy, and perhaps most directly by the people who keep this country moving every single day, our public transport operators. Now, after 4 long years without a fare adjustment tax, and bus operator will see a 15% increase from 18 May 2026, taking the standard tax fare from 13 to 15 Namibian dollar per trip. So the Ministry of Works and Transport approve this after the Namibian Public Passenger Transport Association had originally asked for a 30% hike. Now, so the question on everyone's mind is simple. Are we in for a prolonged period of rising costs? And what does this mean for the ordinary Namibians trying to put food on the table? Now, to help us make sense of all of this, we are joined today by someone who needs no introduction in the world of Namibian economics, Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matundu. Good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike, and good morning to Igdol FM listeners.
So it's really a pleasure to have you with us. And Doctor, let us start, okay, let us start with the big picture. When you look at what is happening with fuel prices globally and how that is landing here in Namibia, what is your reading of the situation? Are we seeing a temporal spike or something more structural?
Thank you, Mike. It will all depend on that East Trump war. If the tensions continue and is sustained in the Strait of Hormuz, then definitely prices are going to go up. The problem that we are now facing is an inconsistent Trump all the time. Today there is peace, tomorrow there is war. Now as we are standing, the tensions are escalating where the Americans are starting to attack Iranian vessels and retaliation from Iran. So it looked as if there was a let up in the prices of oil. Now prices are again going above 100 US per barrel. So really all are not in our control. It is in the control of the US. If they decide to basically stop the war, then prices will start going down.
So when I was listening to the minister, the ministry has pointed to, of course, to the geopolitical tension in the Middle East, the rising freight and insurance cost, and exchange rate fluctuation between Namibia dollar and the US dollar. Now, from an economist lens, which of these factors really is weighing mostly heavily on our fuel bill right now?
Very good, Mike, that you have mentioned the local currency, that is the rand and the Namibian dollar against the major currencies. That is a very important factor, and that is the silver lining. At least our Namibian dollar or South African rand, they are holding very well against the major currencies. So in that sense, that will offset the pump price or the importing price of fuel into Namibia. So those are the two important factors, as you have just mentioned. One is what is external, which is the geopolitical tensions. And the second one is basically the our currency against the major currencies, and it is holding well. At least that will offset the oil prices.
Now the 4 point and the $4.63 per liter for diesel is a really big jump, you know, because diesel powers our mining trucks, our commercial vehicles, our transport sectors. What kind of a knock on effect do you expect this to have on the cost of goods and service across the country?
That's a good question, Mike, but let's put this in context. Remember that last month, that is the month of April, diesel also went up by like four Namibian dollars.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you add this, we can say just in 2 months, it has gone up by $8.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, we should applaud or commend the wisdom of our government for creating what we call the Namibia Energy Fund, NEF.
Yeah, the National Energy Fund, yeah. Mm.
Exactly. The National Energy Fund. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
If it was not for that, prices by now, the pump price of diesel could have been gone up in 2 months by $8 and $8 to cater for the under-recovery, and it could have been something like $16.
Yeah.
So in a way, government is subsidizing or cushioning, even though it is from the fuel levies we pay, that is basically put in the National Energy Fund.
Yeah.
But that was a brilliant idea because it avoids a huge fluctuation in oil prices or spikes when prices are increasing like these.
Mm.
But your question was, diesel is the bloodline of the economy.
Yeah.
That is basically that is taking goods from one end to another.
Yeah.
And as it is going to reflect in the cost of logistics of those big trucks that are running, your trains, your everything, definitely prices are going to go up very easily.
Mm.
Not only that, mind you, long-haul transport services, passenger transport services from here to Oshakati, from here to Kidmans, they are also using diesel, and diesel has gone up that much. So we should also expect, as we have seen with taxi fares, that long-haul transport services, the fees are also going to go up.
Yeah. Earlier, you mentioned the brilliance of the government in terms of the National Energy Fund. Now, the government has said it will observe about 1.3 billion through the National Energy Fund to cushion, you know, consumers. Is 1.3 billion sustainable? If global oil, let's say for example, global oil prices keep climbing, how much longer can the National Energy Fund keep absorbing these shocks before the pressure is fully passed on the consumers?
Now, we go back to Trump war again, against Iran. If it is sustained and goes beyond like 3 months and the international oil prices remains this high.
Yeah.
And we have basically one way that we are going to do this is to what the ministry did or government did was to basically reduce or do away with the fuel levies to try and also help us at the pump.
Mm.
Now, if that 1.3 is a billion is to cover for the 3 months. Your question is what will happen beyond that?
Yeah.
Then government will also try to other measures to kick in.
Yeah.
Like rationing, for instance, trying to make sure that you don't, perhaps you fill out your car just with something like 30 liters per day or those kind of rationing.
Yeah, I think we have seen something similar sometimes in Zimbabwe or something like that. Was there something
indeed,
like that? Yeah. Mm.
In some many countries, even in South East Asia and many other nations.
Yeah.
But one thing that one could also say is that even with the cessation of hostilities in the Gulf, the oil prices won't just drop to where we were in December to something like 65 or around 70 per barrel, they will still remain very high. Now, your question is very, very important, and that is where the consumers or the users of oil or fuel products should also come in to assist government. Things like trying to reduce your speed. Instead of running your vehicle at 120, 140, which is prohibited anyway, 140, but that guzzles the fuel. By running at 100 or 80, you are going to assist our government import deal.
Yeah.
And that is going to assist us. Well, you have money to fill up your tank, but what you are going to say is that you are going to exhaust our reserves.
Yeah.
Because what the minister told us is that
doctor, something quickly, like this. Doctor, quickly, we're going to have a commercial quickly, and we'll be back in soon.
Great news! Inbet just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Inbet? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Inbet has to offer at an unbeatable price. Inbet, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. Yeah, we can just go on now. Yeah, yeah. So we're looking if this 1.3 billion this cushion, you know, is sustainable. Yeah.
Yes, it is not, because at one point we could easily exhaust the National Energy Fund.
Yeah.
And two things will happen. One is a very sharp increase in fuel prices, where government will say, consumer, you are now on your own.
Yeah.
But I suspect government won't want to do that, because that is going to affect the economy. So what government will perhaps do, or have started to do, because what I have just said is how the consumers of fuel can assist government.
Mm.
But what I suspect from government side is that they have now, that is from the ministry up to cabinet level, started to think, where are we going to scrape some more funds to support the National Energy Fund to subsidize pump prices.
Yeah.
So I think, or under recovery. So what I think is that they will look at different options. One, where can we cut where we are not going to head service delivery too much? So, and like in a serious emergency, is there something in at the Prime Minister's office from the emergency fund that we can throw inside? Is there somewhere in government entertainment funds where we can take all entertainment funds from all the ministries and put them in this emergency fund, energy fund, etc.? So those are some of the things, so that we can try and make this to last longer or be sustained, as you have said.
Yeah.
But the 1.3 billion, because of now collecting fewer fuel levy because of their subsidies, will really, really be very tough for this fund to be last longer.
Yeah, maybe the increment that they made, the increment then for the politician, was so hesitant, but we didn't see this coming.
Yes.
All right. Now, the as you mentioned earlier, the the government has a temporary reduced or suspended selected statutory fuel levies by up to 50% for 3 months from April the 1st. Now that intervention currently amount to about $2 per liter. How significant is this relief, and what should consumer be prepared for when those levies are reinstated?
Yes, that I'm not privy to that information.
No.
What will happen, but what we could expect is that, look, government could do two things when the levy is reinstated.
Yeah.
It could double the levy to build up that the National Energy Fund.
Yeah.
Or it could leave it there, and we could have a leaner National Energy Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So consumers should expect the pump prices to remain in a way high, because when that is reinstated, or a little bit hiked from what it was to a higher percentage fuel levy,
yeah,
we should also prepare for that.
Yeah.
The other thing, Mike, we are going to come to that, but one thing, directive that the minister made yesterday,
yeah,
because of what they call hoarding, people buying more than what you need.
Yeah. Mm.
Because what they have planned was to basically spend or subsidize consumers to that is fuel consumers, to the tune of half a billion, that is $500 million,
yeah,
a month. But they have discovered that because of these people who are buying, consumers who are buying more fuel than that is necessary,
yeah,
they have spent $800 million.
Yeah.
And the minister came with a directive which is good and also bad. On the one side, okay, they said if you are a big user like in agricultural sector or so, you can buy that.
Mm.
But what if this is a blanket one? I am having a small head of cattle somewhere in ASAP, and what happens is that the pumps that we use there uses diesel.
Yeah.
So from time to time, I'll buy a 25-liter container,
yeah,
to go and use there. So if that is completely for the next 3 months, is prohibited to fill a 25-liter or
yeah,
so, then that is something that should also be considered,
yeah,
and
yeah,
not be seen as a sin. But it is very, very important, because those ones with deeper pockets,
yeah,
they
exactly
could start when in anticipation of higher prices,
yeah,
they will hoard, and this can just create unnecessary imbalances in fiscus or in the National Energy Fund.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, let's talk about the public transport side of things now. Tax fares are going up from 13 to 15 from May. From the May the 18th, a 15% increase. Operators have had asked for a 30%. In your view, is 15% a fair compromise?
Yes. Let's look at and say this, Mike.
Mm.
There will be a differential impact of these high fuel prices.
Yeah, yeah.
Consumers, they will be affected. We'll have the low income and the high income.
Yeah.
The low income will be hit very hard. We are going to come to that when we are talking about the price of food,
yeah,
etc. High income, yes, yes, but not much. Government. Now, the low income consumers will be affected even through the provision of government services.
Mm.
Mind you, government is going to be affected in, let's say, sharing medicines from here to Katima.
Mm.
The bill, that is government fuel bill, is going to go up.
Yeah.
And they may even say, this is just for two kids to take these drugs to Katima.
Yeah.
Let's but leave it or wait until next Friday. So those poor people who are relying on government services,
yeah,
like health services, etc., the two kids, God forbid, may have died.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the drugs are coming next Friday, because you have to pull and get more drugs to ferry to Katima, for instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So business people, they are going also to be hit hard, and some of the ones who are not having reserves or buffers, they are going either to get out of business or to lay off the workers.
Mm.
Who are the first to be laid off?
Yeah.
Are basically the low-income earners who are going to be without jobs.
Yeah.
And what is going to happen to their families? So all the sectors, consumers, government, and businesses are going to be affected. Now let's come to your very, very important question. But Mike, if we have time, we are going to come to a very important thing.
Yeah.
When we are talking about the Trump war on Iran, what we should remember is that it is not only fuel, but also fertilizers that are held up there.
Mm.
And fertilizers meaning that in the next planting season, the crop yields are going to be affected worldwide. That is going to jack up the food prices, and most of the things, grains, maize, wheat, those are international traded commodities.
Yeah.
And that is, even in South Africa, most of our food products, prices are going to go up, and it is going to hit the low-income groups mostly very, very hard. So now let's come back to the $15, the $30 demand, and the $15 demand.
Hmm.
Well, it is a compromise. What we have seen, because government, if taxi fares and also your long-haul bus fares are going up, the commuters are going to make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And plus, it is also going to affect the economy, as this sector, the transportation sector, passenger transportation sector, is a very, very important sector.
Mm.
That is what takes you to go and Okulima Macha, that is to go and do your day or look at your cows or go to work where you are working and all these.
Yeah.
If the prices are so steep that fares, if transportation fares go so up that it becomes very difficult for passengers to move around, it affects the economy.
Mm.
But let's look at the other side of the coin. The transport owners, be it taxis or long-haul buses, they have to maintain those buses. They have to put some bit of bread on their table.
Yeah.
And if the fares are so low and gas prices are so high, it's in their bottom line that they make no money at all.
Mm.
Yeah. So in that case, two things could happen. They could go hungry, pack their taxis and buses, or they are going to reduce their maintenance on taxis. That is on your tires, on your engines, on your whatever.
Yeah.
And we are going to be faced with ramshackle taxis and buses, which can cause accidents and loss to human life, and maybe breakdowns just between Tatutula in town so that you can just run to your job place.
Yeah.
So it is very, very important that we as consumers of taxi services should also understand that taxi and bus businesses are very important sector, and the owners are basically assisting the nation, and we should also assist them to carry on with an excellent service, which is not reduced because we are refusing or we are going to protest against this.
Yeah.
Now, between 15 and 30%, that is a compromise.
Yeah.
But when push comes to shove and we realize that bus and taxi drivers are making no money because of low fares compared to higher fuel prices, then they should go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
The ministry, as well as, let's say, NAMTA and other bus associations, and negotiate maybe for a hike or either for a subsidy from government.
The other thing the minister said, maybe I'm just wanting your assurance as well. Actually, the minister has assured the public that the Namibia has sufficient fuel stock for the next 3 months, and that the supply chain remains stable. Now, from an economist perspective, how important is that confidence, and what happened if those reassurance turn out to be too optimistic, maybe?
Yes, not too optimistic.
Yeah.
I think they are looking at the true picture.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they import from?
Yeah.
How secure are those, is the supply chain?
Yeah.
So I think on that score, I will say yes, we should take them in. We should trust them on that score.
Okay.
And then the other problem will just remain whether we can afford to import or not. And if we can still afford, meaning that we still have the forex, we still have the money to pay the pump price and subsidize the pump price so that the economy can run both on petrol and diesel, then I think, yes, that we can trust government on that.
Yeah.
Because this confidence, as you have asked, is so important.
Exactly.
Because it factors into decision-making.
Yeah.
Of not only businesses, but also you and me as consumers, the way we buy our food or items, for instance, not panic buying because we'll know that prices of, let's say, food is not going to go up very sharply.
Yeah.
And so it is the same thing with government departments when it comes to planning as to how they are going to run their fleets and run their budgets, etc. So it is very, very important to instill this confidence in the economy.
Yeah. Now, looking at the broader regional picture, how do Namibia fuel prices compare with our neighbor in SADC are paying? Are we better off, worse off, or roughly maybe in the same boat? Where are we in terms with in comparing to our neighbors?
I'm telling you, we are now in the same boat. Let me talk to the South African situation.
Yeah.
What we have seen is that there are, let's say, gas prices, that is, let's take petrol, for instance, it is something like 30 in major centers, 30 rand per liter, and that is mostly owing to their higher fuel levies than ours.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Namibia, for instance, we are a little bit lower because of our lower fuel levies. And
levies,
also,
yeah.
Mm. Yes. But we are almost in the same dilemma. When it comes to, let's say, diesel in outlying areas, I suspect Odangwa where you are,
yeah,
as well as in my Epukiro area, is around 30 Namibian dollars per liter of diesel.
Yeah.
No one is worse off in this Trump war on Iran.
Mm.
So Zambia and the other places in very long queues in some of those nations, but I haven't checked their
yeah,
pump prices to compare to ours. But we are doing very bad when it comes to the fuel hikes. Yes.
Yeah, but I want to look at something else now. So we have some economists have argued that Namibia needs to diversify its energy source and reduce its dependency on import fuel. Now, what are the realistic alternatives for a country like ours? And I'm putting here the emphasis on realistic alternatives for Namibia. And how far are we from seeing those materialized?
Yes. What you are saying is that we have to try and reduce our reliance on carbon fuels,
yeah,
diesel and petrol. We have to look at energy mix, like looking at, if we talk vehicles, we have to look at EVs.
Yeah.
We have to look at hydrogen-driven vehicles.
Yeah,
these things are still way off. Yesterday, my daughter, she's 17, was telling me, "I don't think EV will work when we are going to ASAP. where are we going to yes, where are we going to search it?"
Yeah,
but when we are talking about, remember that even utilities like water and electricity,
yeah,
the rates. The tariffs are going to go up just because of
exactly
the prices.
Yeah,
because some of the pumps that are pushing the water and also purifying water stations, etc., uses carbon fuels.
Yeah,
if we can perhaps try to see how we can have solar technology installed there that will replace where we are using carbon fuels,
yeah,
that I have seen hydro, they have tested hydrogen gas run locomotives, as well as few buses. If we can scale up that, that will also be helpful. But mind you, Mike, it has the effectiveness of the unit,
yeah,
of these alternative energy sources,
yeah,
as compared to what
fossil
we call
fuel. Yeah.
Well, it's lower. It's low.
Mm.
That is why you see the Americans and whatever, they have dropped all this clean energy talk from their give a serious shock to the economy. That is why carbon fuels will remain for the foreseeable future still a very important element in our energy mix.
Yeah.
But it is, as you are saying, really very, very important that we try and diversify and reduce our reliance on carbon fuels. We have adequate sun. At least we have that colonial project that is called the green hydrogen, which was based on the crisis in Russia.
Yeah.
That is the war in in that part of the world, Russia, Ukraine. And when they cut the gas to Germany and those other countries via the Nord Stream gas pipe, they scrambled to try and see whether they can come and put up some green hydrogen projects in Africa to try and cut, ferry that gas to Europe to do that. Now, it seems as if some of those are coming on board and our green hydrogen project is in balance, but it's something that we can still look at. So your question of energy mix is very, very important, and that is something that we should consider.
Yeah. I would also like to tap your mind on this. There's a conversation happening around whether Namibia should revisit its fuel pricing model entirely. Do you think the current model, which relies so heavily on government absorption through the National Energy Fund, is fit for purpose in 2026 and beyond? Do you think that kind of discussion hold?
Okay, let me say this. I am no expert in that area of the gas pricing model. But what I will say is that for now at least, regulating this sector, the fuel sector, via the National Energy Fund, by our ministry looking at over-recovery and under-recovery, and stabilize that through the National Energy Fund. To me, sounds like something plausible, because if we just leave it, for instance, to the market, those fluctuations, let's say like now, if now pump price could have been $40 per whatever, per liter of petrol, and $50 per liter of diesel, the economy could have just stalled. But because of regulation, at least we had that buffer or reserve in the energy fund that can cater for the emergency like this geopolitical tensions in the Gulf. So to me, I won't say it is a bad idea, because I'm not an expert in the area of that. But what I'm saying is that if it is left to the market, and that is what we are seeing in the UK, for instance, where Tesco, which is also selling bread, can set pump prices. So the same thing in the US, but things are not very fine for them, because prices can quickly get out of hand. And that is also for the gas market, like in the European market.
Yeah.
If you don't cap that, then it becomes very difficult. So I think in the beginning I commented over our government's wisdom on having this National Energy Fund. So for me, I'll still stand by that.
Yeah.
But the conversation around that should continue, because maybe the model that will be proposed will be better than this one. So it will just depends on the cost and benefits of the model that will be introduced. The impact on the economy, meaning that the impact on the three sectors, the consumers, government, and businesses.
Yeah. Now, the government has really taken several intervention. I mean, absorbing $1.3 billion, cutting levies, subsidizing rural transport as well. Restricting container, as we talk about restricting container sales. So in your assessment, is this a coherent strategy, or are we looking at a series of reactive kind of band-aids, you know? Do you think this is a coherent strategy?
Now, as we have seen in all economies, they are trying the band-aid strategy.
Yeah.
Now, government, what I suspect is that they are keeping their cards close to their chest because they don't want to cause unnecessary panic.
Yeah.
To say, and it is also not because of that, it is because of the huge uncertainty.
Yeah.
So to just announce a priori before time to say that in months what we are going to start rationing, in months what there won't be there will be serious shortages and you won't get fuel and this is what we are going to do.
No.
We are going to cut government fleet by 50%, etc. It will basically cause unnecessary panic. And I think the way that they are trying, it's okay.
Yeah.
They are also watching the politics. That is Trump incoherent war policies or war talk that is not helping anyone, not only Namibia, but
yeah.
globally.
Yeah.
So they are taking things one day at a time, but I am sure cabinet as well as the ministry, they have a long-term strategy to say that if this happens, this is what we are going to try and do, but we cannot play that just all those things in public like so, because that is going to cause panic.
Yeah.
But for what they are doing, subsidizing this, even they call it a subsidy, even though the money came from us,
yeah.
but it's basically a levy, is a government tax, and they could have used it for other purposes, but they are using it for basically cushioning us from high fuel prices.
Yeah. So now looking ahead, does this situation, I think, does it strengthen the case of Namibia now to invest more in local energy source? I mean, we talked about that. For example, now, does it highlight, you know, the need for developing our own oil resources or as we talk about other alternatives? Does it now really strengthen that case for Namibia?
Definitely. Mm. What you have read, and I think I have read it either in your villager or some also other local newspapers.
Yeah.
Where Dangote, the Nigerian billionaire, that company is talking about setting up something like oil storage facility, I think either in Lutrecht or somewhere, where countries, the landlocked sisters and brothers like Botswana, Zambia, Zim, yeah, where we won't rely too much on oil coming from the Gulf,
yeah.
but where they can refine. To the containers in Lutrecht and distribute it from there. What they are saying is that that is called
like
Botswana, where you have to take maybe 2 weeks or so to something like 5 days.
Yeah.
The other thing is because we have Angola also here, their oil is refined in other countries and only a small refinery that they have there. Can SADC try to pull resources and build a bigger refinery? But those things are very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And do we have the funds for that? So what we should try and do, as you are saying, is really to try and explore some other alternatives to importing all our fuel from the Gulf, for instance.
Yeah. No, I mean, we really exhausted quite a number of aspects. But maybe The other question is what practical, and you mentioned some of this earlier on, what practical advices do you have for families now facing this higher fuel and transport cost? How should people adjust their budget or fuel use right now?
Yes, a couple of things. And what I have said is that from the Strait of Hormuz,
yeah,
what we are facing is not only fuel or oil, but we are also having a fertilizer crisis.
Mm.
What I have said is that food prices are likely to increase, not only because of the transmission from fuel prices to food prices, but services too, not only food, but other services too.
Yeah.
That is goods and services in general. And that will fuel inflation, the
yeah.
rate at which the prices are going to gallop.
Yeah.
And what will happen is that the Bank of Namibia or the central banks are going to kick in another gear, which is increasing interest rates,
yeah.
which is again going to eat not only in consumers' pockets for your high purchase and mortgage bonds, but also for government borrowing,
mm-hmm.
also for business borrowing. They are going to pay more. Now, coming to how we can shield ourselves as consumers, for instance, what I have said is that try to cut or save on everything.
Yeah.
Cut food wastage. Cut utilities wastage.
Mm.
Switch off your lights. Reduce your speed to save on fuel. Stop this thing of tap to stop and choose roads.
Yeah.
Right, etc. So what I'm saying is that we are not out of the woods yet, and we are not going to be out of the woods very soon.
Yeah.
So we should try and save every cent, because things are.
Yeah.
All goods and services, and not only gas. And by doing so, we can still have. Put bread on the table.
Yeah. So, and finally, Doctor, if there is one message you want every Namibians now to take away from this conversation, one thing people should understand about what is happening with fuel prices and what it means for their lives and livelihood, what would that be?
Yes. Just as I have said, we don't know how long this conflict is going to be sustained. If it is long, the harder things are going to be. So there's so much uncertainty, and the takeaway should be, please don't waste your resources.
Mm.
And that will save you money. That will save our government money. By helping our government to have a lower import bill, we are going to save on our forex, that is our foreign currency, which we also use to import essential goods and services like health equipment,
mm.
drugs, etc. So the takeaway should be, we as the ordinary men on the street, Mike and Omu, we can also help government and help our economy not to collapse in this very difficult global difficult times.
Yeah.
So let's help our government. Let's everyone be a patriotic Namibian, whether you are moneyed, you have money, you can do whatever you like. But by saving fuel, you can also save our whole economy, because if it collapses, it will even collapse you who thinks you have money now. Let's sustain our economy by saving the bit that we have so that we can see tomorrow.
Dr. Omu Kakuyahama-Tuntu, thank you so much for joining us on Unpacking the Day. I think fuel prices may be something we cannot control from our living room, but understanding the forces behind them, the government's responses, and the choices we face as a nation, that's where a conversation like this one become essential. So we appreciate your time, and thank you again for being here.
Well said, Mike, and a peaceful weekend to our Namibia, to all Namibians.
Yeah.
And please drive carefully.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doctor. All right. That's Dr. Omu Kakuyahama-Tuntu helping us to understand the price hike of fuel that the adjustment that was actually done yesterday or last night or this morning. Okay, so now you're welcome to come through. So what is your reaction, or what is your overall take of price hikes, of fuel price hike, and the high cost of living, you know, as a consequence? So good morning and welcome. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. The line is open now, 0833-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Sorry for that. A very good morning to you.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yes, good morning, man.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, Mike.
It's Friday.
Yeah, Friday. It's always a good day for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dr. Monica, good for. I just want to say thank you for Dr. Amagan. What? I'm always that name now.
Kakuyahama?
Pronounce it. Kamaka. Yeah. It's okay. We are African.
It's Dr. Omu Kakuyahama-Tuntu. Yeah, you just said Dr. Omu. Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Omu. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, he analyzed a lot of things, seriously. And when you look at the way we are adding the petrol, is that because sometimes I think because our manias are linked to South Africa.
Yeah.
And the South Africa, remember, they already increased in, I think, in somewhere in April. for their hikes of when it comes to petrol and diesel.
Yeah.
And our government, the thing is that when you're saying you have enough capacity, it means why are you hiking in the first place? Mm. Because they're talking about 3 months. At least maybe when we are approaching 2 months, at least there, then you can say, no, yeah, now the price can go up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, we don't know much about how the economy works anyway. But sometimes you just have to reasonable and understand. But the way also they are saying they are subsidizing the petrol and diesel.
Hmm.
They are subsidizing with, I think, with a little money. Because remember one thing that now...
Actually, it's still our money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still the taxpayers' money, yeah.
Exactly. Because the petrol is up, and if you look, the salary of the people, they are still remaining.
Yeah.
And the transport is up again.
Yeah.
And when you look at the people who are committing taxi every day to go to work or taking kids to school or they are going to school, especially at the university. My friend, just imagine going to UNAM every day. How much you are going to end up using?
Mm.
And now, to make it the matter worse, is that the government is not subsidizing when it comes to salary. Let me say, maybe you are getting a bonus for your birthday. Why is somebody able to text you again?
Yeah.
In that process. Because this, I'm paying a tax every day for monthly.
Yeah.
Why does it don't text me in, maybe you can do what you used to do, but not increasing because of my bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, I think this earlier, which I think our government is also there to look into it. Because sometimes you cannot understand, man. They think how they work, but sometimes seriously, just 1 month where I'm having my birthday in the neck, I check my bonus up and then now, hey, the tax man is coming.
You're being taxed. I mean, you're taxed by the government, but the government also still taxed. You're also taxed by every day where whatever you're going to buy, you're still being taxed.
I'm telling you, anyway.
So when you look at that, you're actually left up with little nothing to survive.
Nothing at all.
You know, you survive with little. Everywhere you turn, you're being taxed. You know?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everywhere. And that's why I'm saying sometimes that they need to ready to come up with something where to meet the consumer for their spending.
Yeah.
Because you cannot tell me even now, even the maize meal and white flowers, they're supposed to be what subsidized by the government.
Yeah.
Doctor is talking about even like the money they allocate themselves for entertainment.
Not only entertainment, my dear. You know, look at where we are now and how conveniently just, you know, increase your salaries, you know. I mean, I always say it's everybody deserves to have a salary increased, actually, you know. But you also have to look where you are, the pressing issues in your country and where, and most of the majority of people are. You are the most, you are the most privileged. Yeah. And on top of that,
I'm getting everything for free.
Yeah.
And you don't pay petrol to fill up your car. You don't close the lease. My friend, electricity or the services, you don't pay. Mm. And you're still having to increase your salary again.
Yeah, without even a public consultation. No, what? Without even a debate in a parliament, you know?
It was nothing.
Just like that,
One time, I wake up in the morning, and now, yes, next month, I'm getting more. Because now, if you look, really we are suffering as a Namibian citizen. Seriously, you look, people who are even committing, like going to work every day, using maybe they are paying monthly a taxi fare, like a 600. Now a person has to fork out to pay 900.
Yeah.
If you calculate that $15
But on top of that, like what the doctor say, on top of that, the this would also trickle down to prices of goods that you of things that you're buying in the shop.
These things are happening, like a petrol hike, it's affecting everything.
Exactly.
Especially on the meeting, we don't produce anything.
Yeah.
It depends on the drugs that come from South Africa. Bringing either crop, bringing food which we eat. And on top of that, even the electricity which we are buying from South Africa also.
Yeah.
You see? So it means really we are going to suffer the next, I don't know how long we are going to put up. Unless something happens, it's going to be heavy.
Yeah, it's going to be heavy.
It's going to be heavy, seriously. The way we are looking at serious, it will be not easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, Michael, that's all what I want to contribute.
All right.
Okay, sir.
No, thanks for coming through.
Yes.
So, what is your take? It's a Friday morning. Could be very cold from where you are. It's a good weather here in Ondangwa. Nice and cold, not too cold. It's just that nice breeze that you would love. That the kind of weather that I would love to, you know, live in all the time. I think when it's winter, it's better you come to the north because here you still wear your T-shirt. Of course, it's nice cold. You know. Okay, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. You know, we're talking about petrol hike, an adjustment that just happened, and also the change in tax fare, you know, that will be from 13 to 15. Tax fare is going up from 13 to 15 from the 18th of May. What is your take? What is your take for that, you know? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia. Where have you been? You guys are the one in the oil sectors, ne? And when you hear oil, you I thought you guys are the oil sector, you know, how would I say the you know, big guys, you know, in the sector. Huh?
The blocks. I also wanted to participate on this.
Yeah.
Petrol.
Yeah.
You know, if now my take is like, now is the petrol coming from Africa, like in Nigeria, why is it going so being so expensive?
Yeah.
No, it's coming from Africa now. First we used to say maybe it's coming from Europe. Is the problem now? It's coming from Africa. What's the problem? Why is it so expensive?
Sometimes we're only looking at the distance. We're only looking at the distance from here to from Nigeria or from Angola. But sometimes the process of refining that petrol, it's more expensive than what is actually than in Europe. So you have to put on your margins, you know. Your market.
I think we still need to learn more. We don't understand what are we doing. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
They think that they are coming from Europe. They were in Denmark. Okay, this is the distance, the refinery. But now it's in Africa. What's the problem? Why you are being abused like this?
Yeah. So.
And before you increase the petrol, those who are increasing the petrol is the parliament members. They don't feel it. You know. At least I go to the street and then listen to what are we trying to say? What are we trying to give some ideas and see what you can take from us and what you cannot take from us?
Mm.
You know, you are just there. You use the ticket. You don't use it. You are in the ticket of the government, but you are the one going to increase the petrol. Say, okay, I'll put $2. This $2 is painful to the street vendor.
Yeah,
you know when you increase like $2,
mm.
meaning like. If I used to buy, let me say, I used to use $5 to buy to support the state vendors. I won't do that anymore. So I must just wait for petrol now.
Yeah.
So now we are our salary just for petrol. We don't buy anything anymore.
But the government, you know, the government have taken the other bigger part that you were supposed to pay as well. So they have taken on a bigger junk. You know, if they just let you pay exactly directly how the prices, the global prices, you won't be able to, you won't survive at all. So the government have done something as well to help you, at least to, you know, we're talking about 50% levies, suspended, selected, statutory fuel levies by 50%. We're also talking about the cushion that the government have put, the $1.3 billion, that is through the National Energy Fund, to cushion the consumers. So they observing certain amount of a price that you don't even see. You understand?
But that doesn't feel like the government put the hand there, my brother. Doesn't feel like that.
Of course, it doesn't feel like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like if the government put like the way they say it, let us be like Angola. Why Angola they are enjoying their life, but we ask the government, they are telling us they put their hand, but we don't feel it. It's not enough.
Yeah, no, that's enough. True. That's very true. I agree with you.
They need to come up with more than they did, because we don't feel like the government really support is helping the nation. We should feel like I mean Angola, you know, a petrol should be like $4, $6, not even 20 something dollar. Like I'm being okay, big. No, they need to cut to before they increase this kind of thing. Sit with the people, go to the street, ask them how you feel when you increase your petrol, because us now we are just working for petrol.
Yeah.
Now they will come and say, no, feel happy, because we already take a part of it. It's not enough. If you can hear us, it's not enough. Come back again and add more on that system you are trying to say. Put more money there. We have money, but why you need to settle? If the things coming from Africa now, I don't know what to say anymore.
Sometimes the issue is like we have been sleeping. We have been just focused on one producer or one supplier, and then when things like this happen now, the geopolitical tension that is happening in the Middle East, the rising freight and insurance cost, exchange rate, you know, all this become the increases. It goes up. And that's why the price goes up as well. But we are not prepared for that, you see. And those why they are talking about to diversify your energy source, you know.
You know when the petrol increases, it's like you hit somebody with a stick in the street, because the money you pull from the street is a lot of money you pull from the street.
Yeah.
Now, people, it's not just the car which are using. People in the street, there is no money anymore, because the money you save for this petrol. Otherwise, you won't move.
Yeah.
The government needs to step up more than they did now. Because I don't feel like the government put the hand on the petrol. It's like they are just playing games with us.
Yeah.
No, they don't just come up. It's too much money. $21. Thank you, my brother. Let me give you some other.
Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be painful. I can tell you that it's going to be very painful, and as doctor have said, and the low income earners, low income, you know, household budget is the one who's gonna suffer. Is the one who's gonna suffer. You know, the guys, the VIP have just actually, you know, increased their salaries. That's already a cushion for them, you know. That's already a cushion for them. You and I, you know, the salary hasn't moved for how many years? So, you're gonna suffer. That's a fact. That's a truth. 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. And we also have to look at the way how we navigate this. And there are some practical things that we can look at. I have given an example last time. I said, for me, I live in Ongwediva. So what I do, so at what I do, I leave my car, you know, at the station. I just jump in a taxi, and then, you know, our building is just next, it's just across the road, you know, it's just by the road. So I jump off, I come into the studio, get into the taxi. You know, I'm saving petrol, I'm saving fuel for you guys. No, for myself, but also that's the way we can also, you know, contribute to saving. And we need to do that. We need to do that. Otherwise, we find ourselves, you know, queuing up. We find ourselves without fuel, and we have to queue up for days. And we have seen it in other countries, you know. You may go for, and that would definitely affect, you know, it would affect our economy terribly. Yeah, so, I mean, if you were listening to the interviews, these are some of the things that the Dr. Omo has been highlighting. 0833-663-6091 is the number to get to Mwa. In the studio, okay. If you want to contribute to the discussion, I know it's Friday, but well, yeah, let's have a conversation.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa ko murungu wa indu weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba una ovyu media peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to pika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva o presente dano ko miede vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo ko miede hambu umwe moshimariva o presente mirongo ivari na dano Kumiyede mulongo na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyebu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
All right. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. And welcome, if you're just joining us. This is Unpacking the Day. You are tuning into Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And I'm your host, Marco Chevelli, and I'm here to help you make sense of the stories that shape our nations. Now let's move on. Okay, you are still welcome to come through and have your say on our first story that we have covered now. So you feel free to come through and have your comment or your reaction overall to what is happening to oil price, the fuel price increase, and also the tax fare increase that will be, you know, from the 18th of May. All right, so you're welcome anytime. So come through and have your say. All right. So, but let's move on. We're looking at now the stories that is making the front page of our e-newspaper, the Villager. So, as of 2025, China now own a stake, either a majority or a secondary majority, okay, in every single operational uranium mine in Namibia. Every single one. All right? And just recently, according to the article by Nino Menmavali Hangala, make sure that you subscribe to that. Okay, let me quickly get to someone who's knocking on my door. A very good morning to you.
That mate.
Yes.
Now, just one shout to the increment of the salaries. Those who increase the petrol, they forgot about the increase the petrol, like, that's so high. They are the one who got a debate to say 5%, 2%. Just one shout. at least I come up now in the increasement of salaries.
Yeah.
It is well to turn it 15 up there, because you know already, you already increased the petrol so high. Now they are the one even coming to debate to say no, 6 is too much. You just get 2% or 5%. It's very bad, man. Really, they might think about the people.
Yeah, no, that's very true. We are too few to be poor. That's what the president said.
Really. Now, when the increment of salary in that time starts, you'll see the music in the newspapers. Yeah. No, too much money. No, we have this ABC, but I forgot about this kind of pain you're putting on us.
All right, man.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, that's what the president said. We are too few to be poor. We are too few to be poor. What is true? What is very true? And I was just saying that as of 2025, China now owns a stake, you know, either a majority or a secondary majority in every single operational uranium mine in Namibia. So every single one, all right? And just recently, I was just about to say, just recently a Chinese state-owned giant company snapped up another 42.75% slice of the Bannerman Etango uranium project, one of our biggest mines still under development. So 42.75% slice of that Bannerman Etango uranium project. So, and that's according now to the, that's according to the Chamber of Mines annual review, and Bannerman Energy's own first quarter report for 2026. So in this segment now, what we're going to do, we are going to unpack this. And this is what we do. We look at who really benefits, because all we care here is looking at who is benefiting from our resources. And what does this mean? What does it mean for Namibian sovereignty? That's a very important question. What does it mean for Namibian sovereignty? And is anyone watching this talk? Is there anyone watching the store? So, all right. Now, we have three uranium mines are currently operating in Namibia, and the Chinese companies have a grip on all of them. Okay? All of three. They have a grip on them. Now, you start with Hausep or Husep or Hasep, Husep. That is the big one. Near the Swakopmund, and then China General Nuclear, or CGN, those are the companies. So that one, that is the Chinese central state-owned enterprise, you know. This is Chinese central state-owned enterprise, okay? That's actually owned that. They own 90% of HACCP. 90, all right? So, inapi no menyali, anti akwa hati mbindi shantuti Namibia shirongo shino kawe nongo polone, urani umano adondishi. Ni maage shietu. 90% of HACCP. All right. In 2024, HACCP produced a record-breaking 5,318 tons of uranium oxide. You know, that mine alone hit a turnover of 8.8 billion. Well, they also good employment. They're about, how many? It employs about 2,600 people and works with over 400 suppliers. So, yeah, it is a beast. I think it's a beast of operation. But who owned the beast? That's the question. It's a beast of operation, but who owned the beast? You know? Then there is Rossi, all right? The grand old lady of Namibian uranium. Back in 2019, Rio Tinto, the British Australian mining giant, sold its 68.62% stake to China National Uranium Corporation, CNUC. The other one is CGN, which is actually the Chinese Central, General Nuclear. It's just China General Nuclear that own 90% of HACCP. And this one is China National Uranium Corporation, CNUC. Okay, that is a subsidiary of the same Chinese state nuclear apparatus. Okay, so Rossing, which had been in Western hands for decades, shifted east. Now it's gone east. Once you've gone east, you know the story, you never turn back. No, just like that, my friend. So it shifted now to the east from the west. And then we have the Langer Heinrich, the third mine, subsidiary called CNOL, which falls under that same CNUC umbrella. It falls under the same. So that has a 25% non-operational stake there since 2014. So let's total up, 90% of HACCP, nearly 69% of Rossing, a quarter of Langer Heinrich, and now 42.7% of Etango, the newest addition. So that's the newest addition. So now, here's what makes this now Etango deal particularly interesting, because CNOL is investing up to 322 million for that stake. 322 million for that stake. And what do they get in return? The interesting thing, what did they get in return? An offtake agreement to buy 60% of Etango entire life of mine production. Whatever comes out there, the 60% of everything that comes out of that ground for decades goes straight to China. All right? It goes straight. You see? Hey. Don't have an endunge. For the entire life of mine productions, 60%. Yeah. Now, already invested about 320. The time, what you actually got out of that, you can now looking at that and say 322 million. It's a lot of money, but for the entire life of the mine production, that means what they get out of this for that amount, it's massive. Eh? What about the entire life of them? It could be maybe 50 years. It could be about 60 years. You never know. Eh? So the deal has no price floor, no ceiling. It's just open. Eh? So now, it's a market-based, they say, okay? Arm's length terms, they say, but let us be real, okay? Let's be real here. So when a customer locks in 60% of your output before the mine even opens, that's not just a customer. Eh? That's not just customer. That is a partner with serious leverage. Eh? That's a customer with serious leverage. So, and maybe one thing that we need to look at is actually, I always said, look at the bigger picture. We are hungry. We need that money now. You understand? But the other people, China is looking at the bigger picture. Why China wants our uranium? Yeah? So why is China so hungry for Namibian uranium? Yeah? China is in the middle of the biggest nuclear energy expansion in the world. Yeah? Nuclear energy expansion the world has ever seen. So their strategy is very simple. It's very simple and deliberate. Okay? That's a favorite word of Kanjonga Kwanyuka. So it's simple and deliberate. Now, they want 1/3 of their uranium from the domestic sources, 1/3 from foreign equity in mines, and also joint ventures overseas. That's a strategy. Now, the 1/3 from the open market, and 1/3 from the open market, and Namibia fall actually squarely into that second bucket, foreign equity. This is not a random investment, guys. This is not a random investment. This is a strategic resource security. You know? That's why I said some people are thinking ahead, because they know. You remember the article, the previous article in the you must read the villagers, eh? That talking about that we have no clue, you know, what we have underneath. So some people comes here and they see, woo, there's so much here. There's so much here. We're going to be here for 50 years. Okay? We're going to be here for 60 years. So let's give the money. Let's invest in now, before even we start. Let's invest in now. Because they see. They see. Eh? Ay, shombwe kiri pola dio. Shombwe kiri pola dio. You know? So, yeah, it's Friday today, okay? It's Friday. So, but I'm being, you know, still really, really, really realistic as well, okay? Serious, not realistic, but serious about this, okay? All right, no. So, as I said, this is a strategic resource security, okay? And the number tells actually the story. The number tells the story. Remember my saying that, you know, the number don't lie. So in 2023, for example, more than 77% of Namibian uranium export went to China. Over 3/4 of our yellow cake was shipped east. Eh? So one country buys that much of your output. You are not just trading partner. You are not just a trading partner. You are a supply line. You're not a trading partner, actually. Of that much, you are a supply line. A supply line comes with strings attached. You know, whether those strings are visible or not, you may, you know, because we never really have those transparency things that we keep asking that we must join the STIP, STI, I forgot the whole that organization of transparency something. Yeah. So we have been asking to join that. Then we could be able to see what are the strings. Yeah. So, and meanwhile, the uranium market, as we speak, someone mentioned that yesterday, but yeah. So the uranium market itself is really heating up. It's hitting up. This is where we could have been really, you know, this is where we could have been really making it. We are making it, but it's not us making it, you know. Yeah. Spot price swung from $82 per pound in January to an intra-quarter peak of 101.50 US dollar. Then settled back to, you know, 84.50 by end of March 2026. You know, you have to be in the market, you know, what is that place? The market, what is the word? In the marketplace, you know? You have to be in the marketplace to understand some of this stuff. All right, to see how it's actually hitting up. Yeah? It's uranium is hitting up. Look at the market exchange or market update. You know, to see how is the uranium actually is doing. So, yeah, the long-term prices reference climbed to actually 93 US dollar per pound, you know. So now, probably you ask, why does this matter? It matters. The reason why it matters is because the higher price, because higher prices make marginal mines profitable. Eh? It make them profitable. And when mines are profitable, ownership matter even more. Yeah? The ownership even matter more, because whoever hold the stake, whoever hold the stakes, hold the profit. Yeah? Simple mathematics. Yeah? So whoever control now the offtake, control the supply. Hmm? Very simple. Now, ask yourself this. Now, you ask yourself this. So, if China controls the mines and China buys the output, where exactly does Namibia's leverage sit? Where is our leverage sit? That's the question for your lawmakers. That's the question that we should be asking. So this is something that, we need to have a different focus as a country, you know. Our children need to learn our economy, you know. Seriously, we need to learn what. Imagine you have things that you don't even know. Eh? So our children, we need to have a different focus, a really different focus, you know. So the question is, what is actually Namibia get? What do we get? Do you know what we get? So what do we get? Now, let me be fair, okay? Yeah, it's not all take and no give, all right? So it's not all take and no give. The Hassab mine, for example, employs, as I said earlier, it employs about 2,600 Namibians. And it spent billions on local procurements. So the mining sector has a whole, as a whole, the mining sector as a whole generated 64.2 billion in revenue in 2025, up 25% from the year before. 64.2 billion. So over 23.9 billion was spent on a local procurement in 2024 alone. So mining, as we see, contribute, if you look at our GDP, mining roughly contribute roughly 13% to our GDP. So these are real numbers. Okay, these are real number, real jobs, as we're talking about, real money flowing through our economy. So, now, but here is the other side. Okay, I understand that part, but here is the other side. HOSAP reached a break even only in 2024 after years of losses. That means that for a long time, the mine was actually burning cash. Now, and who was actually observing those losses? Of course, CGN, okay, the 90% owners. So, now, when a foreign state-owned enterprise absorbs your losses for years, you owe them, isn't it? You owe them. Well, not in legal sense, but in a leverage sense, okay? Not in legal sense, but in a leverage sense. So, when the profitability finally arrives, now, who reap the reward? Who would actually reap the reward? Of course, the same 90% owners. Yeah? The same 90% owners. And then, something that we were talking about yesterday, then there is this local ownership question. Our government, through even our government actually trying to say, no, that's not official policy. It is. It's in our development plan. So through the NDP-6, the 6th National Development Plan, launched in July 2025, wants to push local ownership in mining ventures from 51% to 60% by 2030. It's right in there, black and white. You know? So that's the target. Okay? That's the target. But look at the reality on the ground. We also have to look at the reality on the ground. What is happening? Rossing is nearly 69% Chinese owned. Hassab is 90% Chinese owned. We are now We are nowhere near 51% local ownership in uranium, let alone 60%. The gap between policy ambitions, what we, you know, what our ambitions are, and the actual ownership, as we can see, is huge. It's absolutely, absolutely huge. Very huge. So, let me ask you that. Let me ask you, my dear listeners, okay, and my fellow Namibian. What is good? What good? No, not what is good. What good is a 60% local ownership target? Okay? If every uranium mine in the country is already majority foreign owned before the policy even takes effect. Do you understand? What good is it? Because everything before this is actually before the policy even takes effect, our uranium mines in the country is already majority foreign owned. And the Etango question? The deal is too sweet, man. So let's dig deep into this Etango deal, because it is the freshest development, and it tells us a lot about where things are heading, you know. It tells us where all the things are heading. Now, the Bannerman Energy, the Australian company developing Etango, say this deal gives them access to Chinese and global nuclear fuel market. All right? So, they talk about accelerated capital, you know, procurement efficiency and a cornerstone customer that reduces the need to chase of offtake agreement. Okay? So, now, and sure, from a business standpoint, I think that makes sense. It does make sense. You're looking at tier one customer for 6% of your output, and your financing worries actually disappear considerably. It does make sense from the business point of view. The offtake agreement covers the 60% of Etango's life of mine production at market-based terms. You know, with no floor and no ceiling. So that means the price float with the market. So good when the prices are higher, you know, not so good when the prices crash, you know. So that means it floats with the market. Now, and the Bannerman only control the remaining 40% to market freely. And also, I think the other thing maybe worth noting is the One Economic Foundation of the former First Lady, you know. So this is a Namibian social welfare organization holding a 5% loan carried shareholding, whatever that means. So that is something, okay? That's something. But 5% is a token presence. You know, it's really a token presence compared to, you know, 42.75% that NCOL walk away with. It's definitely a token. It's a token presence. Well, so when you look at Etango itself is not a small operation. You know, the definitive feasibility study completed in 2022 confirmed that it can produce an average of 3.5 million pounds of uranium oxide per year. And there was also a scoping study in 2024, showed it that it could be expanded to 6.7 million pounds annually. So, and the bulk, what is that? The earthworks are already 66.5% complete. So things are going, so far so good. Now, the final investment, what is that? The final investment decision is targeted for the second half of 2026. So this mine is happening, you know, it is happening. So this is happening.
Every journey starts with a heartbeat. And for your car,
when it does,
that heartbeat is every part working perfectly together. At Motovec, we don't just sell parts. We keep your car alive. From brakes to batteries, filters to fluids, we power every drive, every trip, every moment. Motovec, the heartbeat behind your journey.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the
When a mind that has not,
my friend, why do you seem so worried?
I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David.
New Etango deal, locking 60% of the mine's life of mine production for China through CNOL, and with an investment of up to $322 million. So the Namibian One Economy Foundation holds only about 5%. So the Namibia NDP6. Target 60% local mining ownership by 2030. It is in there, but currently the current uranium mine ownership is overwhelmingly foreign, creating a massive gap between policy ambition and what we want to achieve. All right, and at this point in time, so the uranium under our desert is not renewable. You know that's not renewable. It's not renewable. Once it is gone, it is gone. Eh? It's not renewable. That's why we want to focus on renewable. So once it's gone, it's gone. The question is whether we will have something lasting to show. Will we have something lasting to show for it when the last truck, you know, rolls out of the Erongo region? Will we have something, you know, that we can, a lasting something that we can show for it? So that's the question, you know, and that's maybe the conversation that you should have in your community, on your dinner table, gauri poka shike gauri ngone po po waya mena uri po ngashi tate tate France hapo pi so gauri ngone tamatamba fana. That's where now you should be, you know, where you should be discussing some of these issues. Well, this is where I leave you today, and let's do this again next week Monday on another edition of Unpacking the Day. So I wish you a very good weekend, and please do drive safe. Take care. The other people's life is on you. So their safety is on you. Make sure that you, if you're driving, drive safe. I wish you a very good, restful weekend. And from me, Michael Chevalier, it's a goodbye for now. All right.